If you have your program, to find the sermon outline, that a little half sheet, if you'd like to follow along on paper, fill in the blanks with those words. Or if you brought your smartphone or your tablet and you've got the Bible app of YouVersion, you can click on live events and should be able to find ACC and follow along electronically if you'd like to do that. And this morning in your Bibles, if you brought them with you, or if you need to use one in the chair in front of you, I'd like you to find the book of Ephesians and then get to chapter 4, mark that if you would, and then when we read from that in just a little bit, you'll be ready to go when we get there. Well, by now you know we're in the middle of this series about communication, and we're calling it Words with Friends. And words are important because they're what we use to communicate with each other. And because we have to use words to talk about words, my prayer has been that I'll be able to use the right words to help all of us use our words better and as healthily as possible. So I want to take a moment before we jump in today to kind of review where we've been. We started in the first week reminding ourselves that words are powerful. Words really have a big impact in our lives. And most of us found out that our childhood attempt to shelter ourselves from the impact of those words really didn't work. And so as often as we would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, all too often it really wasn't a shield. Those words got in and maybe did some of their damage anyway. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 18. It says the tongue, and of course that's what we use to make our words, actually has the power of life and death because the tongue and the words are powerful. And we were just reminded again in this song that is the titled Words, that whole idea, it says, they've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They've made me feel like a criminal. They've made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I've never been, and they've dragged me down back to where I began. Words can build you up. Words can break you down, start a fire in your heart, or put it out. Words really are powerful. Last week, Dave did an amazing job. I listened in, and he helped us understand the source of our words. And we learned that our words began in the heart, that the heart is the place where our words start. And Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 12, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. That's an amazing statement. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What that means is that anytime we speak, we're providing a little glimpse into our heart because our words get their start in our heart. And so we need to pay attention to our heart if we want to change how we speak. Now, as a part of this series, I've been offering an idea that I shared in the very first message that I hope is catching on, and I hope that all of us are beginning to use, because it's important for us as we deal with words to recognize that our words need to be filtered. Our words need to be filtered. We need to make sure that we're thinking through the words that we are saying. Proverbs chapter 10 says it this way, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The prudent maybe put a filter on. And that filter, of course, begins with the heart, but then it becomes the responsibility of the brain. In other words, you want to make sure, you know, that your mind is in gear before you put your mouth in motion. And so the assignment over the last couple weeks has been, it's a very challenging assignment, to try to simply just think before you speak, and to always use these thoughts as a filter of just the word think. Before I speak, I need to ask myself, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Now, I want you to notice that that acrostic, it starts with the truth. Is it true? And I want you to notice, though, that while truth does top the list, it's not the final word. Because while it's important that we say what's true, we also need to include in our filter those other things. Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? That's why today what we're going to try to take a look at is what I would call both the content and the delivery of our words. We need to look at what actually we're saying and then how it's being said. What's the delivery of our words? Now, you might receive a very nice gift from someone, but if they give it to you in a very ugly box, a very nondescript box, you might not even want to open it. And in the same way, our words, if we package them in a really harsh or hard way, people might not want to receive the actual gift of those words spoken in truth. So to help us understand the importance of both the content of our words as well as the delivery of our words, we're going to take a look at a couple of verses in a letter that Paul wrote back to the ancient city of Ephesus to a group of Christ followers who were in that city. Now, to give you a little background on the letter itself, it has been broken down for us very helpfully and conveniently into six chapters in the book of Ephesians. And what you find is the first three chapters, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this letter, spends a lot of time covering very important doctrinal issues. In other words, these are the things that you need to think about so that you think correctly. And then the last three chapters, really he gives us some very practical expressions of how that doctrine ought to be lived out in everyday life. So he tells us what we need to believe and then how we live out that belief every day. Now my encouragement to you today, because we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open there, is that you would take some time maybe later today to go ahead and read that whole chapter of Ephesians chapter 4. That'll put it all into context, and maybe for this entire week say, hey, I'm going to read through the book of Ephesians. There'll be some great soaping opportunities that'll come from that. Well, this morning, as we're reading, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. We're going to read a verse, and then I'm going to go backwards from there, because if you notice, I've listed as our passages Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, and then verse 15. So we're going to read them in that order. So let's go ahead. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4, take a look at what it says in verse 25. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Now, before we go any farther, just want to remind you a little simple truth. Whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, you need to stop and ask, what is that therefore? And really, it's usually pointing that there's something that was previously said that is very, very important. Now, fortunately, and again, not across the board, but fortunately, in our culture, honesty, for the most part, is esteemed. It's a virtue that a lot of people would kind of aim for. But what you and I need to remember is that when this letter was written, it was written in a culture where this type of moral thinking was completely off of the radar for most people. They didn't have the Ten Commandments. They were as a really pagan culture, so they didn't think about telling the truth at all. And that's exactly why in verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes this. Go back and look at verse 22. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So what does that new attitude, what does that new nature look like? That's when he says, therefore, we're going to be the kind of people that are committed to speak the truth to each other. That's an important lesson he wants them to learn. Fortunately, Paul doesn't just leave it with, hey, you got to tell people the truth. Because he gives us actually the key for the delivery of that truth just a couple of verses previously, going back up to verse 15. Now, if you go back up to verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 4, what you'll notice is, if you read the context, is that in the context of that, God has given us the church in order to help us grow up in our faith. And part of how you and I are going to do that is in our conversations with each other. We're going to talk about the truth. We're going to talk about life. We're going to talk about God. And part of what we're going to need to do in that conversation is to make sure we talk about the truth, but we deliver it in the right context. So look at what it says in verse 15. It says, instead, speaking the truth, how? In love. In love. There's the delivery. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Now, why would Paul make sure he added that caveat to us being, you know, responsible to speak the truth, but to do it in love? Why? Because most of us are familiar and know this, that honesty is always the best policy. But the truth can be devastating. The truth can be pretty harsh at some times. And most of us,
here today already have an understanding of the importance of telling the truth. We know that it made God's top 10 list of do's and don'ts. It's found in the book of Exodus, but it's repeated again in Leviticus 19, verse 11, where we're told, do not lie, do not deceive one another. So let's be honest. Honesty is what we're supposed to do. But isn't it true that sometimes honesty can put you kind of a challenging spot? You know, Abraham Lincoln was one of our presidents known for his honesty. But I want to show you this morning just how much of a challenge this was, even for him.
Does this dress make my backside look big?
Perhaps it will.
Poor guy. I mean, he's got to tell the truth. Now, I just share that because ladies, us guys, we would love to be honest with you, but you got to be careful. Don't ask those questions that I'd like to call like backdoor questions to what you're really after. And you know, some of the questions, it's like that question, does this dress make me look fat? Or do you notice anything different about the house? And guys say, no, not really. It was at the same address that it was the last time I was here. Or you ask us, hey, do you think that woman is pretty? And we want to think, compared to what? Because we better know what it's compared to. Or what are you thinking about? And you know what us guys are thinking about? Usually nothing. Nothing's going on that much that up in here. Or is there anything, you know, you don't like about me? We're not going to answer that. We're not going to answer that. We'd like to be honest, but we really can't. And I just want to say that that's really a whole nother sermon series that we're going to need to do another time. We'll try to address that then and there. But we do really need to be honest with each other to tell the truth. And maybe you've been on the receiving end of some truth that was shared in some reckless ways that caused a lot of damage. Again, the book of Proverbs shares this with us in Proverbs 12. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, and when we use truth in a difficult way, it can make a lot of damage. Now, what I've found is that most people, and so most of the people sitting in this room today, are really probably going to land on one side or the other of this equation. We're going to either be really good at telling the truth, or we're going to, you know, probably be a little bit more on the loving side. And so some of us here are going to need some assertiveness training, while others of us here are going to need some diplomacy training because we need to know how to say it better. Some of you here need to be able to beef it up on the truth side, while others of you need to work on the delivery side, how you're actually saying it. And since we're talking about speaking the truth in love, I just want to say with you that I am no expert in this area. In fact, I think this is one of the most challenging areas for me to keep in balance as a pastor, because I've been called by God to be able to speak the truth, but I love people. I want to make sure we don't damage people with the truth. And so I'm going to tell you this right up front, that the only way that we can really get this is if we learn to work together. And that's where I hope we're going to take us today, is that we learn to work together on this. And so we've got to make two commitments. Number one, the first commitment would be that truth is always the content of our words. Truth should always be the content of our words. The psalmist in Psalm 19 had a great prayer. It says, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That should be our heart's desire. Our words are going to be pleasing to God because we're speaking the truth. Now, we always have to recognize that when we speak the truth, sometimes other people aren't necessarily going to want to hear it. And so the truth is not always something we want to hear. But it's always something that we need to hear. May not be something that we want to hear, but it's something that we need to hear. And so sometimes, if you're going to have truth be the content of your words, you're going to have to share something that someone doesn't necessarily want to hear, but that they desperately need to hear. Now, this is kind of a silly illustration, but I think it gets the point across pretty well. Most of you are familiar with the story of the emperor and his new clothes. And the guys that sold him a bill of goods and said, hey, we got this thread and we can make an outfit for you that only the wise can see. And he didn't want to appear foolish, so he, you know, bought it hook, line, and sinker, paraded through town, you know, in his birthday suit, really. And everybody else said, oh, that looks beautiful, that's wonderful, telling him what he wanted to hear. Finally, remember one little boy stood up in the back and said, hey, I don't think the emperor's got any clothes on. That wasn't necessarily what he wanted to hear, was it? But he desperately needed to hear it. You know, sometimes when people are speaking into our life, it might not be something that we want to hear, but we still need to listen. I recently had a very good friend of mine who had the courage to speak truth into my life. And I'll be honest, it was painful to hear. But I was thankful that he had the courage to share it with me. In Proverbs, again, verse 27, the Bible says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. You know, sometimes a person that really loves us is going to say to us the hard things that we need to hear, but that we don't want to hear. And it may even hurt, it may be painful. But wounds from a friend can be trusted, while an enemy multiplies kisses. Someone who doesn't care about us, they'll tell us what we want to hear rather than what we need to hear. And I've just come to learn that truth, as painless as it may be, is always empowering. Many times I've had things shared with me that I found when I learned the truth that they're devastating. But becoming aware of them all of a sudden empowers me to be able to do something about it, because I didn't know what was going on or I didn't know what was happening. And when I know the truth, I'm empowered to do something about it. Now, let's just acknowledge that speaking the truth to someone can be a little bit intimidating, especially for us more mild-mannered type of people. And especially that's true when it deals with an area of behavior that is incongruent with God's standard of behavior. That's another fancy way of just saying when people have crossed the line into sin. And I don't think we do a very good job sometimes when we see sin in other people's lives being able to address it. And here's where I think some Christians become confused because of scriptures like the one in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, where Jesus says pretty clearly, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And so a lot of us say, and I'm keeping my mouth shut because I don't want to be guilty of judging. But what Jesus is really addressing there is the issue is that we're not supposed to be judging other people's intentions, other people's motives, because we really can't be sure of that. I've heard people say, you know, I think they did that because of this. They don't really know. That's where judging comes in. We're placing our interpretation on their actions on them. I've heard people say something like, well, I think the only reason he said that is because he hates me. We don't really know that he hates you unless he's actually said that. What he said to you might be cruel or mean or something hard to hear, but that's when we're actually judging. And we need to make that distinction because honestly, folks, identifying sin is just that. It's identifying sin. And you know that I can only identify sin that God has already determined or judged for himself to be sin. And so you and I got to recognize today that identifying sin isn't a sin. Identifying sin isn't a sin. And there's some great passages that talk about the importance of us helping each other in this area. For example, in James chapter 5, verse 20, it says, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways. How are you going to do that? You're going to have to speak truth into their life. You'll save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Now, I don't know if you've noticed today, but our culture today is really a culture of tolerance, isn't it? And too many times, what that simply means is an acceptance of anything and everything. And so we hear a lot of catchphrases today, such as, you know, what's right for you might not be right for me, and you see it your way, and I'll see it mine. And those are just often attempts to broaden the definition of what's considered as right and wrong, and you and I don't get to choose that. That's God's choice. And since discrepancies about right and wrong and good and bad exist, sometimes it's necessary to confront someone with the truth, and that may be uncomfortable. Could it be that one of the reasons why the world today sees so much hypocrisy in the church is because we're too reticent to speak the truth in love to each other, while at the same time we're very active in telling the world how wrong it is? We won't tell each other when there's issues, but boy, we can sure tell the world when it's wrong. It's interesting, in the very first letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a group of believers in the city of Corinth, he was shocked when he heard the news. There was someone living in a sin right out in front of everybody, and nobody wanted to say anything. Nobody would say anything. And Paul said, you've got to address this issue. And then in 1 Corinthians 5, at the end of the chapter, very interesting statement that Paul makes. He says, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? In other words, the people that aren't Christ followers, they're bound to do what they want to do. Are you not to judge those inside? We're supposed to be helping each other in a very important area. So I want you to think about the following situation and ask yourself the question, what would you do? Linda's divorce was not yet final. Her husband just didn't seem to care about her anymore. Her friend John, however, was attractive and attentive. Although she wasn't yet divorced, what started as a friendship with John grew into a very intimate relationship, crossed the line. What would you do? Well, Christy, a godly woman who was only an acquaintance of Linda's but was very concerned about the situation, so Christy went to Linda in private, which is how you should approach somebody, and told her that her relationship with John was not right, that it was sin. And let me ask, what people say, is that judging? Not if it's her behavior. Again, I want you to point out what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, so it's a church family. That's why I say we got to work on this together. If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person. And how do we do that? Gently. I mean, there's that whole love piece. Now, sadly, Linda didn't take Christy's interference very well. Christy did speak the truth. She even had pure motives. But the challenge was that she had little relationship with Linda that would have encouraged Linda to be more willing to accept that difficult truth from her. That's why when we're talking about this, relationship is very, very important. And so while we would say truth should always be the content of our words, we also need to make sure that love is always providing the delivery of those words. Love always provides the delivery of our words. See, one of the realities of living in this world today is that people don't care how much you know until what? Until they know how much you care. That means that truth delivered in love will almost always have a greater impact. So let me talk real quickly, because we don't have all day. We could spend a lot of time on this. But what does speaking the truth in love, what does it actually look like? I want to give you two suggestions. First of all, it means looking in the mirror before you look out the window. If you're going to speak the truth in love, it means making sure that you look in the mirror before you look out the window. The reality is that for most of us, our words may miss the mark before they ever leave our mouths because we haven't taken a good look at ourselves first. That's why in Matthew chapter 7, before verse 5, Jesus asks a great question and says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And then he says clearly, first take the plank out of your own eye. Now, I know a lot of people see that and they're like, whoa, that sounds a little bit harsh. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot plank. I'm not going to, you know, risk sharing with somebody something difficult like that. But I want you to notice that Jesus did not say that you shouldn't help your brother or sister with the speck in their eye. That's not what he said. He said, you just make sure that before you help them, you've got the plank out of your own eye. You still need to approach them on that issue. So just make sure if we're going to deliver our words in love that we look in the mirror before we look out the window. Secondly, it's going to mean caring as much about what is heard as what is said. Caring as much about what is heard as what is said. It can be so easy to get wrapped up in the delivery of the truth. We're going to say those words. We're going to make sure we get the message across that we don't consider how it might be heard. We get done and we say, I said what I needed to say. But you know what I've noticed in life? The problem with communication is the illusion that it happened. Husbands and wives say amen, right? You know, or parents and children. The problem with communication is the illusion that it's happened. And that it happened the way that I thought it did. You know, there can be a big difference between what you say and how what you say is heard, as well as what other people think about what you had to say. You know, one of the interesting things of being a pastor is that people will sometime approach me to express appreciation for a sermon that I gave, and they're telling me the message that they got from my message, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, that is not even what I talked about. I didn't even mention that in the sermon, but normally I'm glad they got out of it. If it was something that's good, I usually let it go. But then I want to say there are other times when I am so thankful that people have had the courage to come to me and ask for some clarification about something. They said, is this what you meant? Is that what you meant? And then I can either confirm it and say, yes, that's what I meant, or no, that's not at all what I intended to say. Now, I want us to think about our responsibility to speak the truth in love for just a minute in relationship to our responsibility that we have as Christ followers to tell other people about the necessity of following Christ or the reality of facing an eternity in hell. And all of us have probably heard pastors or preachers or evangelists stand up and give a great sermon on turn or burn. And the problem with their whole message was it kind of felt like they were hoping that we would burn, you know. They didn't really want us to turn, and so we've got to be very careful. That's why I say it's delivered in love. When you tell someone, hey, if you continue on this path away from Christ, you're risking eternity in hell. You don't want it to sound like that's what you're hoping is going to happen. When you speak the truth in love, you need to care as much about how the message is heard as what is said. That's why in Proverbs again, it says the tongue of the wise, a wise person uses their tongue for healing purposes. Now, let's see if we can bring this all together. How can we create a culture in our lives and in the church especially, because we've got to have this, for this kind of communication to take place? First of all, it starts with each of us recognizing that honest input into our life is invaluable. Honest input into our life is invaluable. The Bible is so clear that every person who is open to others speaking truth into their life is a very wise person. Let me show you Proverbs chapter 15. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Need some more? Proverbs chapter 9. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their righteousness and their learning. Need some more? Proverbs 12. The way of a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Need some more? Proverbs 15, a fool spurns a parent's discipline. Listen, kids. But whoever heeds correction shows prudence. And you know, there's more, but that's all we got for today. What I would just want to say is, somehow in the church, we need to foster an environment of gracious candor. In other words, speaking the truth in love. Being gracious to each other, but being honest with each other. This needs to be a place where truth can be spoken in love because people care enough to speak it and other people are gracious enough to receive it. That's going to take a lot of courage on all of our part. The problem we have today with so many churches and so many groups of people you can connect with, that it's always too easy when we've been offended or maybe hurt, we can just go to another church. And the problem with that is sometimes the very area where God may be trying to help you to grow in, you're going to miss out on what he wants to teach. See, here's what I've learned in my, I was going to call it short life, but it keeps getting longer. What I've learned is, when God has me enrolled in a class, He has really something that he's trying to teach me for my character, and he's bringing people around me, and it's getting a little bit, you know, uncomfortable and difficult. And so you know what I'll do? I'll decide to drop the class and say, God, I'm going to remove myself from that situation. That was too painful. I go over here, and God says, you know what? You cannot go on until you pass that class. And so you know what he does? He re-enrolls me all over again and tries to bring the same people into place to help me grow, because he wants to use each other to grow. So I want to ask you a question today and have you think about this. Can you name three people who have permission to speak honestly into your life? People who will tell you the truth, even the stuff you don't want to hear. Can you think of even three people? Because all of us need someone who in a godly way can speak truth into our life. And those people have permission because you've given it and you've requested their honesty. Now, that's dangerous, but it's powerful, and I hope we can move. I hope we can move in that direction with our words. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that you're a God who is willing to do for us what you've asked us to do. You speak the truth to us, but you do it in love. You're not afraid to tell us that we are sinners, that we are lost apart from Christ, but you remind us of the love that you have that is our way of escape and that demonstrates your love. And I pray that just as you speak the truth in love to us, that you'd give us the courage to speak the truth in love to those that are around us. Father, make us those kind of people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.